Okay. This is ABC Native American Consulting versus Hatch.
May it please the court, my name is John Bame. I'm representing the appellant, William Hatch. When all is said and done in this case, it really boils down to a simple matter of contract law. On November 20th, 2002, Messrs. Hatch, Scott, and Brooks, along with ABC Native American Consulting, entered an agreement which stated, ABC Native American Consulting has entered into a letter of authorization with the Delaware Tribe of Indians and anticipates entering agreements for authorizations with additional tribes. In said authorizations, there will be compensation paid to ABC Native American Consulting. For good and valuable consideration, ABC Native American Consulting agrees to pay William T. Hatch, Jr., Richard Scott, and Chester Lee Brooks equal shares of the proceeds under these authorizations or agreements. At that time, ABC had a letter of authorization with the Delaware Tribe, and of course that was the primary focus of this agreement, but it did provide for other letters of authorization with other tribes in the future. The agreement as drafted is very narrowly focused on these letters of authorization. It's drafted in plain and clear language. There are two conditions in that agreement for the three individuals to receive proceeds. One, that there be a letter of authorization or an agreement with an Indian tribe by ABC. And two, that compensation be paid to ABC under that letter of authorization. This agreement was drafted by Mr. Scott, who had been an attorney, who was knowledgeable by his own testimony of Indian gaming activities, and most certainly knew what this language meant. However, throughout the entire proceeding, the appellant has attempted to argue that this agreement somehow encompasses all types of Indian gaming activities, contracts, endeavors, projects, what have you, which is contrary to what the plain language of the agreement says. Furthermore, this is not an exclusive agreement on the face of the document, and the district court recognized this fact when it found that the parties had other Indian gaming projects both before and after the signing of this agreement, which were not part of the ABC agreement. Now, Mr. Scott sought an accounting of the funds received by ABC, and the court ordered an accounting of two separate transactions. The first transaction was the Delaware letter of agreement, or letter of authorization, and the payments that ABC had received under that, that transaction. These payments lasted only 19 months as the Delaware tribe was decertified in a federal court decision. The Delaware letter of agreement funds were accounted for to the penny, and in fact the court found that Mr. Scott was actually overcompensated by approximately $3,800. The second transaction that the court ordered in accounting involved a written agreement in which Mr. Hatch, on March 10, 2005, signed with Bobcat Development for a one-time fee of $402,000 payable over 12 months to Hatch to act as a finder broker to introduce Bobcat Development to the Shawnee Tribe of Indians. In order to carry out that activity, Mr. Hatch contacted his associate Brooks to help him because Mr. Brooks lived in Oklahoma, very near Mr. Greg Pitcher, who was the Shawnee Tribe point man, and who actually had probably a closer relationship with Mr. Pitcher than Hatch did himself, even though he had known him for several years. And so Hatch split his fee with Mr. Brooks. Mr. Hatch also had to pay $8,000 out of every payment to a Mr. Dennis as a finder's fee because Mr. Dennis brought that project to Hatch. Hatch testified that this contract was not part of ABC. ABC was not involved in it, it's not mentioned in the agreement, that there was no letter of authorization with the Shawnee Tribe, nor any type of contractual agreement with the Shawnee Tribe. Hatch was working here not for an Indian tribe, and not under a letter of authorization, but directly with Bobcat Development, a private group of investors who paid him for his work. These facts are not in dispute, as Mr. Scott testified in this proceeding that there were no letters of authorization with ABC other than the original letter of authorization with the Delaware Tribe of Indians. And that would mean that there were no letters of authorization with the Shawnee Tribe of Indians by ABC. Simply put, Bobcat Development Agreement does not fall within the scope or the terms of the ABC contract. The district court was in error in holding Hatch liable to account for or pay any of the funds that were received from this Bobcat Development Agreement to Mr. Scott. The court cannot rewrite the plain terms of this ABC contract. It's bound by those same terms, as are the parties. The court's decision was contrary to both facts and law, and it should be reversed on this point. If there are no questions at this time, I would reserve the remainder of my time.
Standard of review here, we have to find that district court's clearly wrong?
Well, I believe the standard of review is this is a review de novo on the record. And while the court may take into account the findings and or the observations of the lower court to observe the witnesses, that it is not necessarily bound to do so, but may make its own findings of fact.
This is a wasn't this pled as a breach of contract?
There were many causes of action pled: breach of contract, unjust enrichment, several. I don't remember all.
So let's talk about the standard of review on a breach of contract. Is that clearly erroneous?
Well, I think, you know, again, the contract is a matter of law, and I think that there's a clear error in the court here in applying the language of the contract to the facts at issue. So I think that would be applicable as well.
Thank you. Is it George or Jordy?
Jordy.
Jordy.
Mr. Jordy? May it please the court, Brian Jordy appearing on behalf of appellee Mr. Scott. In regards to the questions just now about the scope of review, we believe that this case sounds in equity due to the fact that it arises out of the fiduciary duties of partners as the partnership existed. And as was stated by appellant, this court can give deference to the trial court as to the trial court's observations to the witnesses and where the evidence is in conflict, and give way to the trial court on their determinations. Interestingly, in this case, the trial court and Judge Merritt on different occasions went out of his way to indicate and put in his orders that Mr. Hatch was evasive and that Mr. Hatch gave testimony not believed to be credible. If, as the appellant might seem to be arguing, this is action under law, then the standard of review is even narrower and the noose tightens even more on Mr. Hatch's neck because of the fact that this court will review the trial court for any evidence that is available to substantiate the trial court's findings. So we think it's an equity, but if it's under law, it even supports us a bit further.
Also, is the meaning of this contract part of the dispute?
I don't think the meaning of the contract is the heart of the dispute. It's more the fact that there was this agreement that set up this partnership, and then it's the scope of the partnership, the conduct of the parties as they conducted the partnership, that creates the fiduciary duty and then the accounting burden.
But that agreement that you referred to, isn't that where the claim being pointed to different parts of it saying it means this or it means this?
Well, yes, that would be correct. And
is that what was meant by construction of a contract?
That's what the appellant argues, yes.
Right. And if it is construction, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but if it is construction of a contract, then we look at that de novo, don't we?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And in the contract, there is language where it contemplates other tribes and other agreements, and I think it might be important to understand the basis of this 19 months of payments that the three partners were receiving in regards to the Delaware venture. That was an effort that the three partners had engaged in to bring gaming and participate in gaming in the state of Pennsylvania. And once the Delaware became a recognized tribe, they had the connections and experience on how to get this done. They found investors who were represented by a Mr. Dennis and Figueroa. And so they put together the investors, negotiations with the state through their regulatory commissions, Board of Gaming, and then brought the tribe, of course. Well, in the economic agreement with the Shawnee tribe, which is at the heart of our claim, the players were substantially identical. The only thing that happened was that the Delaware tribe lost its charter, which wasn't something that happened at a moment's notice. Mr. Scott, Mr. Hatch, and Mr. Brooks had been working with these other tribes at the same time, thinking if the Delaware is going to lose its status based on what the 10th Circuit decides, we need to have another tribe that's recognized in place. Well, along that same thinking, they still were working with Mr. Dennis and Mr. Figueroa. And it's not a coincidence that those two gentlemen, as far as representing the finance entity, were involved on the Shawnee transaction, paying the monies monthly, just as they were previously paying the monies monthly under the Delaware transaction. So the players and issues and Pennsylvania gaming, everything is basically identical, except for Mr. Scott got cut out. Mr. Hatch argues that he entered into this finder's fee exclusively and of his own right. However, strangely, he pays Mr. Dennis and Mr. Brooks, the other partner of Mr. Scott, monthly payments and cuts out Mr. Scott. At the same time, Mr. Hatch sets up a bank account under almost an identical name of ABC Gaming that only he and his wife are signers on. So we believe that it's clearly a case of usurping basically a partnership opportunity. It's the same players, the same contemplated matters, just insert new tribe that is nationally recognized and continue the payments. Because a partnership existed and the trial court found that, it moved to the accounting. And in the accounting, it's undisputed that Mr. Scott is owed, based on the evidence solely of Mr. Hatch, $130,000, just north of that. So if there aren't any questions, I would submit our case on that argument.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The council has rebuttal time.
Okay. Your Honors, any fiduciary duty that exists under this case is due to the partnership agreement. And that fiduciary duty pertains to partnership transactions.
Doesn't it also pertain to transactions that should be partnership transactions?
If that could be established, it might, but I don't believe the record establishes that fact here. In any event,
partners owe each other a fiduciary duty, right?
Well, they do as to partnership transactions, which goes back to the terms of the original agreement that they entered into. What were the terms of that agreement? That establishes what those fiduciary duties are, what those transactions are. Council made reference to an economic agreement with the Shawnee tribe. There was never an economic agreement with the Shawnee tribe. You'll find no evidence in this record to that effect. So there was no partnership opportunity for ABC with the Shawnee, other than perhaps in Mr. Scott's mind. Mr. Scott, prior to this agreement that was entered into several months prior had independently written to the Shawnee, trying to get them to sign an MOU, a memorandum of understanding. They rejected that. He testifies that he later tried to get them to sign an MOU. They rejected that. The Shawnee wasn't interested, according to Mr. Hatch's testimony, in anything outside the state of Kansas up until a court decision came down in late 2005. The bottom line is there is no evidence of an actual partnership opportunity on behalf of ABC. This was an activity, this particular transaction was a transaction that Mr. Hatch was brought to him by Mr. Dennis, who in this case, Mr. Dennis was being paid. In the prior case, Mr. Dennis was in fact paying ABC. Different. The parties had different roles, different positions. It wasn't related. It was something entirely separate. This is not something that was taken behind Mr. Scott's back and out of ABC, because ABC never had an ongoing relationship with the Shawnee Tribe.
Thank you. All right, case is submitted, and we're adjourned for the day.